This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Keeping an eye on all the games in progress right now, as we have just two Major League Baseball games in progress. The Mets with a 5-3 lead over the Phillies. They're in the bottom of the fifth inning, though. The Phillies are threatening with a runner on second base. And bottom of the sixth inning in San Diego, the Padres lead the Royals 2-1 down in Omaha. LSU still with a 1-0 lead over Coastal, top of the seventh inning, their game one of the College World Series. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Line as we break down the rest of the Major League Baseball slate for tonight, Angelo Maglioka from Sportsline for CBS Sports, joining us here on Live Bet Saturday. Angelo, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes, and let's get right into it. A game that is about to start in about 10 minutes in Colorado. The Diamondbacks are at the Rockies. A lot of runs scored in yesterday's game, partly due to Gino Suarez and his two home runs. But Merrill Kelly gets the ball for the Diamondbacks tonight. Carson Palmquist on the bump for the Rockies. Where are you looking to bet this game?
So first off, this weather here, almost 100 degrees in Denver, really going to be a hot one. But I think that, you know, this number at 5.5 for Merrill Kelly on his strikeouts here, I've got to kind of not overthink this one, just play the over. He's been consistently over this line. It's one of the best matchups. He's also in the 82nd percentile for chase rate, and this lineup chases more than any out there in the MLB. So I went for the sixth strikeout here for Kelly, but like you said, with Palmquist on the other side and all those runs last night, I could certainly see it being another run scoring affair here in this heat. Could be very easily done.
Yeah, I like both these teams to score. I mean, I mentioned it earlier last segment that playing like the Rockies on their team total to go over 4.5 runs, if we just isolate the 7 home games they've played in the month of June, they've gone over 4.5 in 5 of them, and the 2 that they didn't were the first 2 games that they played at home in the month of June. So we're talking about 5 straight games at home now that they've gone over 4.5 runs. I do like the Diamondbacks to win, and I don't hate, you know, backing Merrill Kelly as you're on, or even doing a Diamondbacks on the run line, because we know when the Rockies lose, they lose by more than one run. But I do think it could be a high-scoring affair, and maybe not get to 13 runs, but, 7-5. We can hit both these bets and think that this could be a Diamondback 7-5 victory, and we get that team total to go over. Elsewhere on the schedule for tonight, we got the Astros at the Angels. Brandon Walter on the mound for the Astros and Jose Soriano for the Angels. Do you have anything in this game?
I like to find little weird props, and if you go on DraftKings, you can find this one. It's the over 1.5 double plays turned. Like, what kind of bet is this, right? But
is that combined? Is that for one individual team, Angelo, or is that combined?
Both teams, whole game, the entire game. So it could be with the closer in the last inning. It could be with the starter in the first inning. As long as there's two in the game, the entirety of it, it's not restricted to starting or relief pitchers. And you're going to get a starting pitcher in Jose Soriano that leads the league in double plays, induced. And then you have a team in the Astros that hits into the third most double plays. So I think Soriano could get it on his own. But that number for one double play turn for just his team, the Angels, there is minus 185. So there's a heavy, heavy chance that that's going to happen at least one time for him. I'll take the shot at near even money here that, you know, we can get one from Brandon Walter on the other side. He's a heavy ground ball pitcher as well. And if he doesn't give it to us, like I said, maybe it's the relievers that we get one late.
I like that a lot. I mean, limited markets here, obviously, based on your sports book and the availability of that. But if you are able to play on a DraftKings, what a bet. I mean, and what a handicap as well, because, you look at the pitchers that induce a lot of ground balls, the pitchers that do have a high double play rate, and teams that tend to hit into a lot of double plays. I mean, we could look at certainly teams that walk a lot as well. More guys on base, more chances for double plays. So I do like that. I'm going to keep an eye on that.
Absolutely.
Elsewhere tonight, we got Guardians at the A's. Luis Ortiz for the Guardians. Mitch Spence for the A's. Totals 9.5, and we know totals, the games go over in Sacramento. This one is actually juiced to the under. Maybe the weather not beneficial tonight, or as beneficial as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, this one's a little bit, kind of for me, I'm staying away. Mitch Spence is a bit of a question mark for me, and I haven't been able to time up Ortiz at all. all this year. You know, when I thought he could grab some strikeouts, he doesn't. When I think he's going to go under on the strikeouts, he has a career night. So, you know, it's, again, kind of a little bit of a weird one, but I was actually looking to the game tomorrow night here between these two teams. I think that one could really, it's actually not at night, in the middle of the day, but I think that could really be interesting with J.P. Sears on the mound.
You want to fade J.P. Sears or you want to back him?
Oh, yeah. I want to fade J.P. Sears at home anytime I can. You look at the guy, under 30 innings at home, 12 home runs allowed, an over 6 ERA at home. It's just not been good in Sacramento for him. So I'm going to look for Jose Ramirez tomorrow, who's been one of the best hitters against lefties in their lineup. This lineup hasn't been good against left-handed pitching in the Guardians, but Ramirez is, you know, continuing the career trend of being better against lefties. And because he's a switch hitter, I think it matters a lot more because you're switched around to the other side. And when you're doing something in a completely different direction and you're really good at one way of that, I just think that there's, you know, you got to hit on those when you have the ability. And Sears is a guy that he can actually get some of those numbers up against his lefties because he's not an overpowering pitcher. He allows those home runs. And, you know, Jose Ramirez, only 2 home runs so far against left-handed pitchers. I think some point we have to regress. Mm. And I think that, you know, against Sears, that's a great spot to do it.
Angelo Maglioka from Sportsline for CBS Sports joining me, Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN. Angelo joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's take a look at the late game for tonight, the Dodgers hosting the Nationals. And, I mean, my condolences to anybody that had Dodgers minus a run and a half last night, but that's the risk that you run by laying it with a home team. You don't get that ninth inning at bat. C.J. Abrams, a solo home run off of Tanner Scott in the top of the ninth, and the Dodgers only win by one against the Nationals. Where are you looking for tonight's game? Dustin May on the mound for the Dodgers and Jake Irvin for D.C.
I want to fade Jake Irvin, and it's really with these lefties. You look at Ohtani and Freeman here in this lineup, but specifically Ohtani and some of the numbers that he has. I just think that Jake Irvin against these lefties is a way that you want to fade. And the Dodgers, like you said, look, maybe they don't win by 2 every night, but that minus 1.5, even at home, I don't love playing the minus 1.5 on the home teams. You're only guaranteed 8 at bats, right? So it's a little bit tougher. And if you have that lead, teams have zero incentive to add on in the bottom of the eighth or something like that. If, you know, they've got their big closer coming up, sometimes you just want to get 3 outs and get back to the top of the ninth to seal the win. So, you know, last night, of course, you can kind of see as you have walk-offs, and we even saw the Cardinals recently, you know, yesterday with a walk-off, right? You get to 10 innings, you just want to win the game. So I get it if you're a little bit scared on the 1.5, but I would go 1.5 here. I don't think there's a ton of value on the number, but just the way the game ends, I think that they win by 2 or more.
I believe that as well. And you're right, the lefties, that is an angle that I was looking at earlier. I want to attack I want Freddie Freeman, Ohtani. I'll even have some fun and do a home run parlay or something, but really the total bases. And I know that Ohtani's kind of juiced at the 2.5 number, but I would look at Freddie Freeman over 1.5 and Ohtani, some way to bet at this, because you're right. Irvin against these lefties, it's certainly been profitable if you've been fading him or backing the lefties against him in this spot. I want to quickly take a look at tomorrow's games, Angelo, and one game in particular. It's the early game on that, you know, the Roku early start that they do on some days. Yankees are taking on the Orioles. Now, the Yankees busted out of their slump in a big way with the 9 runs that they put up here on Saturday. Do you think that momentum carries over into this early start here on Sunday morning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's the best thing for him to have the early start, right? The team's been slumping. The last thing you'd want to do is have the night game tomorrow where you finally had a good offensive showing. Yeah, you got to wait, you know, more than 24 hours to get back on the field. Well, how about we just cut that down and we play in the morning? It's going to be an 11:35 East Coast time. That's what, 8:35 on the West Coast, right? You're rolling out of bed on a Sunday to some first pitch baseball. There's nothing better than that. And I think in this game, the Yankees' momentum on offense definitely does keep rolling. You have Dean Kramer, who I truthfully have for a long time thought he's not a great pitcher. Similarly with Zach Eflin today, I faded him on the under 17.5 outs. If we get a number like that on Kramer tomorrow, I'll do it again. I just think that lineup here with the Yankees, you know, it's too good to stay in lulls like they just had. And at some point they got to break out. If you don't know, and you mentioned kind of that New York weather, right? There was like a week where it was 60 degrees and it was cold and it was rainy. You're finally getting those 80, 85 degree sunny days now, man. And I think as that happens, that ball starts flying. And, you know, no doubt the Yankees tomorrow behind Will Warren, I'll be backing them.
Any other games tomorrow that kind of opened your eye when you looked at the slate?
It was really that one against J.P. Sears. Yeah. It was just that J.P. Sears number at home. Anytime we get him at home, I want to fade him. So I really did like that one. If you want to look to the night game, right? You talked about that Mets game going on right now. You have that that Mets and Phillies, you know, rivalry. It's an awesome rivalry. You get two great southpaws on the mound tomorrow night. I say great even with what Jesus Luzardo had happened to him in a few starts recently. I think that he was tipping his pitches at, you know, even partially. I think there was definitely some ways that these hitters were figuring him out. And he's kind of fixed that. I think if he brings the velocity tomorrow night, him and David Peterson are going to lock horns in that night matchup. Sunday night baseball should really be a good one with those Phillies and Mets batters. So I definitely like that. And if you want to take a look, you know, a little parlay, the earliest game, the latest game, parlay them together, little Yankees and Phillies, that's the way I would go.
Angelo, appreciate the time and the insight. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the games coming up.
Thanks, Scott.
There he is, Angelo Maglioka, joining us from Sportsline on CBS Sports. He's on Merrill Kelly over 5.5 Ks. That game has just gotten underway here in Colorado. The Diamondbacks are at the Rockies. I was scrambling to get in a bet. Might be able to get a live bet in, though, if we can on this game, because I do think that we see some runs, but I do favor the Arizona Diamondbacks. And yes, Merrill Kelly indeed. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up next, we will update you on what's going on in Major League Baseball and down in Omaha at the College World Series. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, taking a look at everything in progress right now and seeing if there are any good live betting opportunities. How about the Diamondbacks, who have gotten off to a quick start already in Colorado, as Carson Palmquist has allowed two hits to the first two batters. So it was Ketel Marte with a double, and then Perdomo reached on a bunt single, and now Lourdes Gurriel is up as the Diamondbacks are threatening here in the first inning. So a good opportunity to cash a Yerfy, a yes run first inning for the Diamondbacks here against Carson Palmquist. Runners on first and third with nobody out in the top of the first inning. Your live line right now, live total, it was 12.5 before the game started. Your live total is at 14.5 runs. And this is where I still want to attack this. So your live total is still at, your live total has been jacked up, right, to 12.5. The Diamondbacks team total, 14.5. The Diamondbacks team total has been jacked up to 9.5. But the Rockies haven't batted yet. I still kind of like Rockies over 4.5 for their team total for this game. Now, me personally, I'm hoping that this gets to be, you know, a situation where we have a ton of runs scored in this game, because the more runs that are scored in this game, as Gurriel walked, bases are loaded now for Gino Suarez. My goodness. If the Diamondbacks don't score a run here, something's wrong. But they're going to score a run here. Bases loaded and nobody out here in the top of the first inning. Because the more runs that are scored in this game, the less likely the Diamondbacks are to use their top bullpen guys, which, frankly, the Diamondbacks bullpen's terrible anyway. But I can see even Merrill Kelly with a big lead might just go out here and just, you know, just kind of groove in some pitches. I do like Rockies over 4.5 on their team total. But let's see what kind of a crooked number the Diamondbacks put up here in the top of the first inning. Again, bases loaded with nobody out, top of the first, as your live total is up to 14.5 for this game. Closed at 12.5, now up to 14.5. Elsewhere in the top of the sixth inning, the Mets looking to add to their lead. It is now 5-4 over the Phillies, as the Phillies did score a run in the bottom of the fifth inning to make it a 5-3 game, a 5-4 game. So they're chasing just one. Mets batting, though, with runners on first and third here in the top of the sixth inning. Your live number for this game, your live total down to 13.5. Well, the Mets have just scored, so the sportsbook, whoop, Mets have scored more than a couple, as the book is just updating. I haven't seen what happened yet, but it looks like there's going to be runs scored because the TV is showing me 5-4. but the sports book is showing me 7-4. So 7-4, the Mets now lead over the Phillies as they look to snap their losing skid. And now on the live total, it is back up to 14 and a half runs between the Mets and the Phillies. We have 11 runs scored right now in the top of the sixth inning. So let's see if the ESPN adjusts here. It might have been a Francisco Lindor double, as I'm seeing Tanner Banks pitching to Francisco Lindor, trying to see what's going on here on the TV. They are reviewing something. I don't know if maybe it was borderline foul or no review. Anyway, Mets now with a 7-4 lead on that Francisco Lindor double. So big offensive night here for the New York Mets. Francisco Lindor has gone over his number of total bases. We know about Juan Soto and his 2 home runs, Brandon Nimmo and his 2 home runs. Big night here for the New York Mets offense. If you just looked at their first 3 batters, and even Pete Alonso's got 2 hits as well. So the first 4 batters for the New York Mets have all gone over their total bases props. And, frankly, have gone over, well, not their hits plus runs plus RBIs, just the first 3 guys have, not so much for Pete Alonso. But Lindor, 2-for-4, 3 RBIs, a home run, and the run scored. Nimmo, 2-for-3 with the 2 home runs. Juan Soto, 3-for-3 with the 2 home runs. And Pete Alonso, 2-for-3. So big offensive night for the top of the Mets lineup. And I think they are reviewing this now to see if, in fact, it was a fair ball or a foul ball down the line there in the corner, as we'll see what the call is. And does that say overturned? I think the call was overturned. I'm a little confused. I'm trying to see what's going on here. They're looking to see what happened, if it was fair or foul or something's going on. Nick Castellanos was looking, oh, maybe the ball, whether it bounced out of play or not. Anyway, the sports book is still showing me 7-4. So maybe the runs do count, but Lindor goes to first or goes to third. I don't know what's going on here. We'll get you an update as soon as we figure out what is happening here in this Mets game against the Phillies. But I'm still seeing the score stay at 7-4, so maybe the review is for something else. And it does stay 7-4, so not sure what that review was. But Brandon Nimmo is now up with Francisco Lindor on second, and your live total is at 14.5. The 7-4 score does count here. 7-4 Mets over the Phillies. Elsewhere, let's see if the Rockies or the Diamondbacks got runs. Diamondbacks only 1 run. Bases loaded and nobody out, and only scored 1 run in the top of the first inning. Eugenio Suarez with a sacrifice fly to right field, scoring Ketel Marte. And it looks like after that, the runner from second did not tag and go to third. So Randall Grichuk flied out to center field. And because that runner did not go to third on the first sacrifice fly, stayed at second and no run scored there. Vargas then grounded out to third. Only 1 run for the Diamondbacks there in the top of the first. A wasted opportunity. Your live total, which was jacked up to 14.5, is now back down to what the original total was at 12.5. That's where this game closed, at 12.5 for that total. And the Padres still holding on to this 2-1 lead over the Royals in the bottom of the seventh there in San Diego. Your live total of that one is at 5.5. And in Omaha, top of the eighth inning now, LSU 1-0 lead over Coastal Carolina. Cade Anderson is in to pitch here, or has been pitching for LSU. He's on the mound right now. And he's gone 7 innings so far, only 3 hits allowed for Coastal, no runs, and for LSU, 1 run on 5 hits as we are in the top of the 8th inning. Your live market right now, LSU minus 315 with a live total of 2.5. What a low-scoring game we have here in Omaha. And again, weather, we talked about it before this game started. Hot, 90-something degrees there in Omaha with wind, heavy wind gusts blowing in. Maybe keeping the ball in the ballpark. We did see a couple of deep fly balls that went to about the warning track, and I don't know if they would have been home runs on a better night, as we see another deep fly ball to right field, and that one wind keeping in as well. So LSU still with this 1-0 lead. Coastal with the nation's longest winning streak, 26 consecutive games. That streak is on the line as the TV is showing all the wind blowing in and the flags heavily blowing in. So you wonder if some of these deep fly balls for Coastal would have gone out in a better weather situations. But again, on the live line right now, LSU, my goodness, what a jump now. Minus 950 on the live line as there are two outs here in the eighth inning. Minus 950 for LSU. If you think Coastal's got to come back in them, plus five, now down to plus 500. It was plus 575. Plus 500 if you think Coastal has a comeback in them. Rather than play that, if you think that Coastal comes back, you got over 1.5 runs right now is even money. Maybe play an alternate total over 2.5. I mean, you can get the plus 500, but over 1.5, you know there's got to be runs scored, right? But LSU could add an insurance run in the bottom of the eighth, and you can hit that total. And then you got the top of the ninth. So not a lot of opportunities, but you do have opportunities. And you're asking yourself, is there going to be one run scored in this game or not? Or will it end at a 1-0 score for LSU? Game one here of the College World Series in Omaha. Elsewhere coming up, we got a couple of Major League Baseball games that will begin shortly in about 10 minutes or so from now. The Astros are at the Angels, and Jose Soriano is on the mound for the Angels, who are short favorites over Brandon Walter and the Houston Astros. Walter has made just three starts here on the season, and he's been effective. Five shutout innings against Tampa. Six innings, just two runs allowed against Cleveland, 6 2/3, one run allowed against Minnesota. So he has been pretty good here this season, and the Astros are dogs. Hey, there's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called Xcuta, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. You can create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew, any sport, any sporting event, and there's over 1,000 teams, players, drivers, and database with your ability. You can make auctions 3, 6, 9 p.m., a whole lot of options, and go to xcuta.com. Hit them up, email support@xcuta.com. Get a free 3-month bidding subscription. This.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Some excitement going on in the baseball world. Let's update you on the scoreboard here. I'm Scott Seidenberg, and it's Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up, we'll get back into our preview of Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow between the Thunder and the Pacers from OKC. But let's get you some score updates as Fernando Tatis, his 3-run home run, has given the Padres a 5-1 lead now over the Royals in the top of the eighth inning there in San Diego. And off to a good start with our recommended team total over 4.5 for the Colorado Rockies. Jordan Beck with a 2-run home run in the bottom of the first inning as the Rockies lead the Diamondbacks now 2-1 there in Colorado. Mets are on top of the Phillies 7-4, bottom of the sixth inning in Philadelphia, and they are into the bottom of the eighth inning in Omaha as LSU still with that 1-0 lead over Coastal Carolina. Coastal will look to get out of this inning clean and their last chance there in the top of the ninth. And will there be ninth inning drama like we saw in the last game between LSU and Arkansas? Well, if you want to believe that, you can get north of plus 500 odds on Coastal to come back and win this game, or live bet a total of over 1.5 runs at plus 200 if you think there will be a run to be scored in this game. And if you do, let's say LSU doesn't score here in the top of the bottom of the eighth inning, you can bet Coastal to win the game, or you can bet Coastal, you can bet the live total to go over. Now, if you think Coastal scores, the over 1.5 is not a good bet, because if you think they're going to score, then the game has to have another run. The game's not going to end 1-1. Therefore, instead of the plus 200 on over 1.5, look to bet an alternate live over of over 2.5 runs. So if you're just looking at, again, live betting options, if your sportsbook does offer that, you can get your live total to go over instead of 1.5 runs, which I saw on DraftKings at plus 200, excuse me, do over 2.5 runs. And obviously you'll get more than plus 200 on that, because if Coastal scores just one run in the ninth inning, there has to be more. LSU will get up in the bottom of the ninth. They can walk off and win the game, or it goes into extras, or Coastal can score two runs in the ninth and take the lead. Like, there's a million opportunities. All that we know is that if the game's tied at 1-1, there has to be another run scored. So the over 1.5 is not a good bet, in my opinion. You would either bet the under 1.5 or over 2.5. That's if this remains a 1-0 game going into the top of the ninth inning. LSU certainly looking to add an insurance run here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Still to come in Major League Baseball, beginning momentarily, the Astros and the Angels from Anaheim. LA a minus 120 favorite. Jose Soriano on the mound for the Angels and Brandon Walter on the mound for the Astros. Looking at the total in that game, it is at 8, and it is slightly juiced to the over. And then your two late games won't get started until the top of the hour. That is the Guardians at the A's. Luis Ortiz for Cleveland, Mitch Spence going for the A's, and the Nationals are at the Dodgers. Jake Irvin on the mound for the Nationals and Dustin May for the Dodgers. In that game, talked about it earlier with our guest, and also just in the course of our conversations here, going to be back in the lefties here for the Dodgers against Jake Irvin, who's had a tough time against lefties this season. Looking at the splits, Jake Irvin against lefties on the year, in 200 at-bats, he has allowed 10 home runs to lefties and an 819 OPS. Lefties hit this guy extremely well. And so it sounds square, but as I, you know, defended myself earlier, betting any Dodgers player is square, because they're just the top-rated guys. We know that. You're going to have to lay a little bit of a price. But I would go over Freddie Freeman total bases. I'd go over Shohei Ohtani total bases. So any combination of those guys, I'm going to back here for the Dodgers against Jake Irvin and the Nationals. And I do think the Dodgers do get the job done. They're north of minus 255 favorites. I don't like usually laying the run line with the home team. And so maybe I don't do that in this case, but instead find a way to back the Dodgers on the team total to go over. But then again, you're not getting that ninth inning at bat. If I do expect them to have a lead here, you're not going to get that ninth inning at bat. Now, there are other ways to play these props or to play these favorites. And I believe there is, if we look at, let's see, there's a game prop. I think DraftKings has this. And it is, there we go. The Dodgers to bat in the bottom of the ninth. Yes or no? It is minus 190 for the no. And so if you believe the Dodgers win this game, like I do, you can get reduce the juice that you're betting on this game by just betting the Dodgers to not bat in the bottom of the ninth inning. If you think they're going to have the game in hand, and they're minus 273 favorites, if you can lay the juice and give yourself the cushion of a walk-off win in the ninth, goes to extra innings, who knows? I mean, that's the luxury of being the home team, right? You have that luxury of, you got the hammer in the game. You got the opportunity. You're trailing. You're going to get another at-bat. But if you believe that the Dodgers have the advantage in this game like I do, and you think that they're going to win handedly, you could certainly risk the -1.5. But as I mentioned, the story from last night, that came back to bite you. C.J. Abrams with the solo home run in the ninth inning. Dodgers had a two-run lead. They win by one. And it stinks. Or you can get creative and bet these prop bets, like up on DraftKings, Dodgers to bat in the bottom of the ninth. No, minus 190. That is the way that I would bet this Dodger game. Dodgers to not bat in the bottom of the ninth is at minus 190, as opposed to laying the minus 273 on the Dodgers on the money line, or even minus 130 or so, minus 140 on the run line, and just running the risk of giving up a run there late in the game and only winning by one. So again, Dodgers to not bat in the bottom of the ninth, minus 190. Speaking of the ninth inning, there is one out in the ninth here in Omaha. Coastal Carolina is down to their final two outs. The nation's longest winning streak is on the line here in game one of the College World Series. LSU was the favorite in this game, the favorite in this series, and they have gotten a masterful pitching performance by Kane Anderson on the mound as he has gone 8 1/3, just 3 hits allowed with 10 strikeouts as Coastal is now down here. And what do they call it, timeout? The kids, they got the manager has a meeting with the batter right now. Wonder if he picked up on something. I haven't seen that. I mean, I don't know if I've ever, I mean, I think I'm sure I have seen that, but there was one pitch just thrown in the at bat and it was a swinging strike and a coach called time and met with the player. I don't know if maybe he saw something here. He picked up on something with the pitcher or a tell, whatever. Next pitch is swinging and ripped foul down the line. Boy, I wonder. Listen, if you picked up on a tell, you picked up on something, tipping a pitch. Boy, you waited until the top of the ninth inning to pick this thing up. But I'm very curious now to see how the rest of this at-bat goes as another swinging foul ball here. So after that coach's meeting, two straight swings, two straight foul balls. I wonder what was said in that meeting. Coastal down to their final two outs here in the top of the ninth inning. Here's the next pitch, and he takes it for a ball. Okay, all right. All right, maybe seeing something a little bit here. Maybe picked up on something. If he did, again, would have been a lot easier for Coastal if he picked up on this earlier in the game. But let's see how the rest of this ninth inning, how the rest of this at-bat goes, as this is going to be a ground out. Wow, that kid was hustling down the line trying to beat it out. I don't know if there's a replay or a review, but that was a close play at first base. Two outs now here in the top of the ninth inning. LSU one out away from winning game one of the College World Series. Hey, if you want to make smarter bets this football season, it starts with a VSiN Pro subscription. For a limited time, you can grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. That gives you full access from now through the Super Bowl. It includes our NFL betting guide, which is the ultimate playbook for team breakdowns, power ratings, season-long best bets. You'll also get everything that a VSiN subscriber gets, which is the daily best bets email from not just the hosts, but the guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows on the VSiN Watch app, and deep analytics and betting tools available on VSiN.com. So don't miss out on this early bird deal. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe, lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we'll get back into the NBA Finals. Game 7 tomorrow in OKC between the Thunder and the Pacers. Our handicap and best bet for that game. It's all coming up. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is a final in Omaha as LSU wins 1-0 over Coastal Carolina, ending the Chanticleers' winning streak at 26 straight games as LSU now one win away from capturing the national championship winners of the College World Series. So great pitching performance there by Anderson and a good game there and lots of fun had in Omaha for the LSU fans. Meanwhile, in Major League Baseball, updating you on the scores in progress, Mets with a 7-4 lead over the Phillies in the bottom of the seventh inning in Philly. Bottom of the eighth, the Padres a 5-1 lead over the Royals. Bottom of the second, Diamondbacks and Rockies are tied at 2, and we are underway in Anaheim. The Astros have runners on second and third now, with two outs in the top of the first inning still to come. The Guardians and the A's, Nationals and the Dodgers, your two late games on your schedule for tonight. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I wanted to shift gears and get back into Game 7 of the NBA Finals, which comes your way tomorrow in OKC. Taking a look at the market, we've had some interesting fluctuations for this game and for the total. Now, on the game spread, right now, we're seeing the Oklahoma City Thunder at home are now 7-point favorites here at Circa. This line has gone back and forth. It was 7.5, and it now is down to 7 as we're seeing money coming in on the Indiana Pacers. So Circa's movement, it opened at 8, was down to 7, back up to 8, then to 7.5, holding at 7.5, now down to minus 7 for the Thunder. And the total is down to 214.5, open 215.5. down to 214.5 here at Circa. Now, we know historically game sevens go under. That's just a fact. And I looked up in the database just going back to 2002. If you just look at all game sevens in the NBA playoffs, regardless of the round, game sevens go under. 44-28 to the under in all game sevens. In this postseason, we're actually 2-1 to the over. And that includes a game between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets, which had a similar total here of 214.5, the lowest total by far for any of these their games in this playoffs. And they went over by 3 points. 125-93 was the final there, as the Thunder blew out the Nuggets at home, and the game barely goes over the total. This total's so low for this game. And the only way I could look is the over. And do I have a strong play on it? No. But if you're asking me to make a play on the total, I can only look at the over. And that, I get it. I understand game sevens go under. And I do think this has the possibility to be a low-scoring game. Just looking at the last four NBA Finals games sevens. 4-0 to the under. By a significant point margin. So I understand it. And I do think that we do have a lower-scoring game. But the pace in which both of these teams are playing is lending itself to an over. And this total, in my opinion, has been adjusted too much when you consider where we have gone, where we have come from here in this series. If we just look back at the totals for the past several games, all six games in this series, and I get it, as you get deeper into the playoffs, you go under. But this is a major adjustment. Game one, 229.5. That game goes under. Game two, 228. So an adjustment from game one to game two. We understand that, right? Game one goes under. Let's, you know, lower the total a bit for game number two. So we lower it to 228. That game goes over. Now, series shifts to Indy for game number three. Total at 226. And that one goes under. Game number four, total back up to 227.5. That game goes under. So now we've had, in the first four games, we've had three unders and one over. So naturally, the market's going to react and push that total for game number five to go lower. Closes at 223. Compared to what we had in game number one in OKC, 229.5. And in game number two, 228. 223 was a big adjustment. And what happens? Game goes over. So then, game number six, total is at 222.5, and the game goes under. Going down now to 214.5 or 215 is a massive move. And to me, it is only based on the fact that it is a game seven. Because it can't be based, and I know that we've had, you know, we're 4-2, to the total in this series, going under. But it can't just be, we're adjusting way too much here on this total. If you told me it went from, you know, because it's gone lower every game, right? It's from 228 to 226, 227, 223 to 222. Okay, if you told me this one was 219, you know, you gave a little bit of a bump because it's gone on. This has been an under series, and you gave a little bit of a bump for it being game seven. But to go down to 214.5 is way too much of an adjustment for me. And I can't get there. So if I had to make a play on the total, it would be on the over 214.5. As far as the sides are concerned, Well, I took a look at home teams in game sevens, and we know that home teams do extremely well in all game sevens, right? If we just look going back in the database, the history of all game sevens, all home teams going back to 2002, 47 and 25 straight up, 37 and 35 against the spread. So profitable straight up, 51% ATS, not that great. But the average line has been minus five. If we now jack up the line to minus seven, which is where we are here in this game, in game sevens in the playoffs, going back to 2002, it's only happened 17 times that we've had a line of minus seven or higher in a game seven. 13 and four straight up for those home favorites. 10 and seven, though, against the spread. 11 and six to the under, because all game sevens go under. But I wanted to look at the start of the games for these teams, because if we look at the Oklahoma City Thunder throughout this entire NBA playoffs, and really, you know, that's the data that we're going off of, what has been their strength at home here in these playoffs? Starting out fast. Not just starting out fast, you know, scoring-wise, but starting out fast defensively. Dominating defensively early in these games. At home in the playoffs, the Thunder are winning the first halves by 15.3 points per half. They are winning the first quarters by 7.4 points in the first quarter. And if we look at the first quarter points for the teams on the road in OKC in these playoffs, 21.4 points on average is what the road teams are averaging in Oklahoma City in the first quarter. Now, after a loss in these playoffs, we know the Thunder have bounced back in an incredible way. So have the Pacers. But the Thunder, after a loss, are winning the first halves by 12.4 points per game. They are winning the first quarter by 6.7 points per game. And that's where I want to attack this game. I want to bet on the first quarter. But what's the angle specifically in the first quarter? Am I going to lay 3 points in the first quarter with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Seems like a pretty heavy tax to pay, considering they're 7-point favorites for the game. I got to lay 3 in the first quarter. That doesn't add up, right? If we're just dividing the 7 by 4, like, it doesn't add up. Do I want to pay that tax? Well, let's take a look at what the teams, or what the opponents are scoring here in the first quarters in OKC. I mentioned the opponents are scoring 21.4 points per first quarter. The Pacers specifically in these NBA finals in games 1, 2, and 5 scored 20 points in the first quarter, 20 points in the first quarter, 22 points in the first quarter. On the road in this postseason, in all locations, and that includes the games in OKC, Pacers are averaging 24.8 points in the first quarter. And then we just look at the history of game sevens. What are teams doing on the road in the first quarter in game number seven? Well, those teams are averaging just 22.7 points in the first quarter. So my best bet for this game, the way I'm going to attack it, is I'm going to bet Pacers first quarter team total under 24.5. This plays into the under for the game. This plays into the Thunder strength at home early in the games, and it's a fade of the Pacers in the first quarter. That's the way I'm going to approach this game number seven. We'll have more on this game plus the rest of this baseball slate for tonight coming up. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.